Hello, it's great to have you with me. I'm Kim Clyden, former ABC radio presenter and children's book author, creating a community of people who care about children. How do we nurture creative, connected, resilient, emotionally intelligent, and empowered children? And they say it takes a village, or what we might call today a community. So if you're feeling overwhelmed by the responsibility, you're not alone. We're surrounded, though, by people who can support us, your family, friends, and professionals, who all play an influential role in shaping our children. Imagine if your parents, teachers, relatives, or carers told you another story. Your life story would be completely different. I believe we can change the narrative for our children, but to do that, we need to change our story. Human needs are pretty basic. Food and water, shelter, clothing, safety, and a sense of belonging. We want to feel protected, safe, and loved. It's an ideal. However, it's not always the case. In many instances, relationships can determine the outcome of those needs being met, especially safety and love. Recently, I encountered the term parental alienation, whereby one parent works to turn a child against the other parent, using manipulative tactics and emotional abuse to undermine the relationship or even withhold contact. My guest today, Charlie McCready, experienced this firsthand when his wife undermined his character with his children and questioned his ability to support the family financially over many years whilst they were married. What he learned from this, he now shares as a parental alienation coach. Welcome, Charlie. I've not heard much about parental alienation. So what made you want to help others experiencing it?
I'm now 15 years on from that. And I decided that I really wanted to do something that would help other parents, because when you start experiencing alienation, there's so little awareness out there that you're just not taught about it in schools or in society, or it doesn't appear in newspapers. It's just we're completely unaware of it. And it is so harmful to our kids. It's so harmful to us as parents. And also because so few people are aware of it and aware of the tools that are available to help you get through it, most of us labor and endure far more pain, including our kids, than we absolutely need to. So I'm passionate about this because basically I come and help people deal with it far more effectively and also get through the whole process far more quickly, especially related to their healing.
How did you first become aware that that was what you were actually experiencing?
Blind luck. So I started looking into, I thought to myself, maybe my wife has a mental condition. So I started reading up about psychology and coming across things like bipolar conditions. But what was really going on was that she was a narcissist. And it was only probably a decade later that I just by chance came across this term parental alienation and realized, that's what was going on all those years ago. And ironically, so I'm now remarried very happily. And the person I'm married to was also alienated. And so when we first met, it was one of the things that was a big kind of conversation piece between us, was an understanding of, we've both been through the same experience.
What supports were there that were available to you when you recognised it was parental alienation?
There are various books that you can look at. This is originally recognised back in the late 1980s by a guy called Dr. Richard Gardner. He called it parental alienation syndrome. He was attacked at a very personal level. He was accused of being a paedophile. And so that name syndrome was dropped. I mean, we think he was probably innocent, but there are various groups out there who attack parental alienation and say it doesn't exist. But there are some other great books by people like Dr. Amy Baker, Dr. Warshak. There are some great materials that you can pick up to read about your children. There's a very limited number of people in the therapy space, because parental alienation is not formally recognized by the psychologists around the world. As a result of that, the people who should be available to give you training, you know, psychologists, psychiatrists, other practitioners, it's simply not on their curriculum. So a lot of people might go to a psychologist thinking, here's somebody who can help me. But they can in a kind of a general level, but what they can't do is really get into the weeds of what is parental alienation. And there are some very specific aspects about the experience that we go through. So there are also people such as myself who are in the coaching space who have experienced this firsthand. And so whilst some of us, me included, are not trained psychologists, we really know this stuff. You know, I certainly know this stuff inside out, you know, the psychological aspects. And one of the issues that parents have, generally speaking, is that the resources that are available only cover one aspect of the whole, the holistic experience, because you need to understand what it is that your children are going through. So the books on alienation by Amy Baker and Warshak and others are very helpful for that. There is your own mental and emotional experience. So there aren't really books on that that I've seen. There are some individuals who have written it as a personal experience rather than as a kind of psychology manual. But you can also look at various psychology manuals to kind of work out what's happening with you. And then the third one is you also need to understand what the alienator is doing and how they are alienating and what is wrong with them from a mental disorder perspective. So it's a bit of a jigsaw puzzle to pull together if you're just trying to do it by yourself, which I think is one of the challenges for parents.
You mentioned that this was happening subtly before you even separated from your wife. Yeah. What types of behaviours were you experiencing and how did the children react?
Basically, I was being presented as somebody who was being mean with money, which was code for I was trying to stop us from going bankrupt because of the vast amounts of money that were being spent. I was then being presented as somebody who wasn't engaged in the children's activities, as being an unloving father, as drinking too much alcohol. I mean, anything, and I wasn't an alcoholic and I wasn't drinking excessively, but anything my ex could find to kind of put me down, you know, just how I helped around the house, the amount of work I did, the amount of money I earned, it was just across the board. So the children started having this idea in their heads, well, Dad's not really supporting us. Dad's not working hard enough for us. Dad doesn't care about us. Dad doesn't have our best interests at heart. You know, I was doing everything. If I say it myself, I was a great dad. You know, I had a very good job. I was working my nuts off for the family. And little did I know that all of this was being held against me in a very resentful fashion.
How old were the children when this was going on?
So it started when they were ages 3 and 5. And it was really when they were, so 11 years later, when they were 14 and 16, that was the point in time the relationship came to an end. Quite frankly, because I couldn't sustain it any longer. I always knew that my ex would try and weaponize my kids against me. Again, I didn't know it was a thing, but I knew that that's what she was going to do. And I tried to stay in the marriage till the kids were 18, but we didn't get there in part because, you know, she wanted to extricate me in advance. She'd had enough. And interestingly, with the people who are alienators, most of them have some sort of personality disorder. A lot of them suffer from narcissism. And narcissism is really just coping mechanisms to deal with earlier traumas that they've experienced. And in the case of my ex, her parents had divorced when she was quite young. Her father didn't support the family. Her mother had a lot of issues with men as a result. She had a lot of issues with money as a result. The mother passed all of that down onto my ex. So I met a insecure, vulnerable person, extremely worried about money, but who also wanted everything that she desired in life, had a real problem with men. And basically, she was wearing a mask when she met me, up until the point in time that I no longer served a purpose in her life. And that's when she wants to extricate herself from the relationship, but keep everything that I'd offered. And when the mask came off, you suddenly see there's a completely different person that you're dealing with.
You mentioned your current wife also experienced this in her life. How different was her experience to yours?
So her husband is also pretty narcissistic, very self-centered, very self-focused. They managed to get through a divorce relatively amicably, but then her ex met a new woman. It, as far as we can make out, it was really the new partner, and this happens a lot, that the new partner comes on board, wants to basically remove any trace of that the ex-partner even if there wasn't alienation present at that point in time. So there wasn't alienation prior to that. So basically, they were trying to remove my wife, or she was trying to, the new partner was trying to remove my wife, and she started alienating the children against my wife, again, degrading her, saying she was a bad mom. In fact, my wife at that point was living in the UK, and her kids were over in Australia. And basically, she and the ex just stopped the kids from coming back to the UK. My wife experienced this for a number of years. Fortunately, it wasn't to the degree that I experienced. So I should just say, but both my wife's children are now fully reunited with her. They're completely back in her life. In fact, all of them, both of them live in the UK. She has all her kids together again. We have great relationships with them. We've repaired everything. With my children, I'm also reunited with them. Interestingly, both my children decided to leave the country, I think as a way of kind of removing themselves from what they would perceive was ongoing drama, but what was really just my ex continuing to just not let go of this hatred that she'd developed for me, which is really a reflection of her own issues of herself.
How did you repair the relationship with your children? What steps did you take?
During the actual alienation process itself, it's massively counterintuitive. So you have to learn to do things that will make your children comfortable in your company. Typically, what's going on is that there's a narrative going on about you. You're a bad person. And it's a loyalty conflict that's created by the alienating parent. So basically, the children have to side with the alienator to protect themselves, because there will be consequences if they don't. And so you typically have a narcissistic person and an empathetic person, me being the empath. That's just how it works. It's normally always that way. You have to learn not to defend yourself and not to criticize the alienating parent to the children, and not to talk about alienation. If you do, what you're doing is you're reminding your children of the conflict, the loyalty conflict that they find themselves in, and they find it very threatening for you to say anything negative about the other parent, because they're basically terrified of the other parent. So you have to be very counterintuitive. You have to accept there is a lot of injustice taking place, and basically prioritize the relationship with your children over the injustice of what is going on. I had to learn to do that, because I realized every time I did try to defend myself, I'd see less of my kids. They wouldn't respond to my text messages. They wouldn't come round and see me. So, you know, I was only seeing them about once a month as it was. So I learned through trial and error that you have to basically be a safe space, a safe environment for the children. Your children go through completely different experiences. Even 15 years down the line, there's still the scars from the psychological abuse that my children experienced. And I still have to tread carefully in some areas, because it's affected them so greatly.
How did it affect your life, though? I mean, how difficult was it to not have contact and to be the one that had to be in control and the one that had to be, you know, rising above and doing the right thing?
I was blindsided. At the point in time, I realized that my children had been cut out of my life, that they were inaccessible to me, that they didn't want to spend time with me, that when they did spend time with me, they were very... You could see that it was obviously very challenging for them to spend that time with me because of the pressure that was being put on them. They wouldn't involve me in their lives. They wouldn't tell me what was going on. They wouldn't tell me what was happening at school. You're really cut off. And as a parent, and some, you know, we've invested our lives in pretty much doing everything for our kids. And for that to suddenly be taken away from you is devastating. But it doesn't just affect you in terms of how your loss and your grief for the child. It affects every aspect of your life, because you're so focused on this loss. You can't work. You stop eating. A lot of people turn to alcohol. Your social life starts falling apart. There's all sorts of subtleties happen as well, because very often your children are stopped from seeing your side of the family as a mechanism to hurt you further. So you have to deal with all of your family's grief as well. But also there's a lot of criticism that falls on us as the alienating parent, because there's this lack of awareness in the world around us, that the people around us just think, oh, well, you must have done something really wrong. And especially if you're a man, they think, well, you know, stereotypical, you're a man, you're not so bothered about the kids, you only worry about yourself. None of this is true. So men come under a lot of fire for something that's not their fault. It's even worse for women, because if a woman doesn't have her child, and something like 40% of alienation cases are women being alienated by their by the fathers, other women are super critical of you know, surely you're a woman, you're a mom, you must have done something so bad that you don't have your kids in your life. So you experience a lot of shame. In fact, there are 9 big emotions that I went through, that everybody goes through. So the first one is grief, but it's an open-ended loss, unlike a normal bereavement, where you can accept that somebody is dead. Here, the person that is missing in your life is still alive, and very often a few minutes away from where you live, and you might even see them occasionally, you know, as in walking on a street, but you're not allowed to engage with them. So you have this great sense of grief. And the second one is guilt. As I say, a lot of us are empaths, so we're really good at beating ourselves up. We don't need anybody else to do that. So we're churning through, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? The answer is, you didn't do much wrong at all. You might be 5% of the problem. It's 95% the alienating parent and just their propensity with their narcissistic habits to want to hurt you. The third one, which we just covered, shame. Shame that, you know, you're the person who is not seeing your kid. That leads to isolation, because you just feel like nobody else on the planet has any sense of what you're going through. And it's horrible, because you don't realize that actually there are millions of other people going through the same experience as you, millions of people in your own country, let alone around the world. The other thing is powerlessness, because anything that you try to do to help your children is turned against you by the other parent. So for instance, if you buy them a present for their birthday, then you're supposedly trying to buy their loyalty. You know, you're just buying them a present, but it'll be twisted into something of, well, you're just bribing them. If you don't buy them a present, then you've abandoned them. So, and this applies to literally everything you try to do. If you take your ex to court, they will increase the alienation, because you've taken them to court, and they will fight you on it. And if you don't take them to court, they'll carry on the alienation anyway, because they think, well, you're not going to fight me. So literally everything is against you. Injustice is a massive one for all the parents. How can this be happening? Why don't the social services recognize this? Why can't the courts protect me? Why don't the police know what's going on? Why doesn't the school understand what's going on? It's like nobody is there to defend you. Then we get anger, because we get really upset with everything that's going on. You also have anxiety. So your mind is creating all these what-if scenarios of, you know, well, what's happening with my kid? Are they safe? Are they okay? Are they being psychologically abused? How is this going to affect them in the future? And then there's our old friend fear, which runs rampant in your mind when you're going through this experience. So I call it an emotional roller coaster. It's basically a conversation that is started by your ex, and you loop, you just go around and around and around with all these 9 emotions going on in your head. But it's a conversation that your ex started, but you're the only person who can shut that down. And that's a really important message for any parent. You have that power to consciously start thinking differently, start acting differently. And when you do, you'll start your healing process. But a lot of parents just get caught in this maelstrom of all this negative thinking. And they can sit in that space for years. It can be really devastating for them, because grief is unique to you and me. Guilt is unique to you and me. So we have to start looking at what are the things that's still causing you distress in your life in order that you can start healing yourself? Because if you want to rebuild a relationship with your kids, it's all about them feeling safe with you. So you will be faced with a kid who is feeling empowered, who is being disrespectful, who won't work with your boundaries, who basically thinks they're superior to you, doesn't want your advice. In a lot of instances, that kids, the parent-child relationship flips. So that instead of you having the power, they have all the power. But your kid still wants to know, despite all their rudeness and these coping behaviors, that you are available, loving, and supportive. The only way you can do that is if you're in a good space yourself. Because if your child is engaging with you, and even when they're being very disruptive, engaging with you is still a good thing. If you get triggered, the message you're sending your kid is, I'm not healed, I'm not okay, I can't protect you. And getting triggered can be as subtle as, well, it can be as significant as you just defending yourself outright. Then the kid will write, you're definitely not in a good space. Or it can be as subtle as you change your tone of voice, you change your facial expression, you change your body language. And the hardest one to disguise, we're electromagnetic beings. We are electrical in our very nature. That's the stuff that you know, our brain is electrical, our heart is electrical. Most people don't know, we send out from our hearts an electromagnetic signal, typically 12 feet away from us, sometimes much further. We all know the expression, you could cut the air with a knife, because all of us, we know we can walk into a room, we'll pick up the vibe of the room immediately. We'll know if people are happy, we'll know if people are distressed, and we just, as soon as we walk in, we get it. That's because we're picking up these electromagnetic signals. Our kids pick up electromagnetic signals. So if you're trying to disguise the fact that actually you're feeling really stressed by spending time with your child, they're going to pick up on this, despite everything else you're doing. So you really, really have to make sure you are genuinely in a good place with your kids to be able to really create that deep connection back with them so you can start rebuilding relationships. It's really complicated. I try to make this stuff as simple as possible for parents, but there's a lot going on that they need to learn.
I've learnt so much just chatting with you. You're amazing, and I can't believe what I've learnt today. So thank you for sharing your knowledge, your wisdom, your story, and your experience. It's just invaluable.
What you're doing, Kim, is just amazing, because people around the world really need to get these different perspectives that you're offering, because they're very often not available. And also it's wonderful because you're bringing so many different aspects together in one place. It's a wonderful resource for parents. You know, they really should spend more time going through all the other podcasts that you're doing as well, because they're all invaluable.
Thank you, Charlie. I hope we get to do this again.
I'd love to do it again. There is so much more to explore that I think would be really, really helpful for all the parents listening in.
Charlie McCready, Parental Alienation Coach. You'll find more about Charlie and his work online. I've included the links to his social media and website in the description of this episode. Next week is the last week of our focus on love and relationships. I'm introducing you to Neil Milton, who had an experience with his son that changed the course of his life. We're getting back to the table with Neil. You'll get a heads up about upcoming episodes by following me on my social media. You'll find us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search What We Teach Our Children. This podcast is recorded at Launchpad Studios thanks to Split Spaces, a nest for new ideas.